Whether it's the bootleg fire in Oregon ripping through communities and leaving nothing but ash, or the tragic condo collapse in Miami, many people in America are safe and sheltered one day and homeless the next, their home and possessions destroyed in either natural or man-made disasters. We hope that we're never in that position. But the truth is, crisis can reach any of us one day. So we wanted to ask, what do you do after you lose everything? We'll walk through some practical first steps to take, and we'll start with the legal side of rebuilding. Kathy Grunewald is a disaster coordinator attorney with the Legal Services of North Florida, which is an area prone to destructive hurricanes. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Celeste. Thank you for having me.
So let's imagine I've been a victim of a fire or maybe a tornado. I have gotten myself removed from an area that's dangerous. I am safe. My family members are all safe. What are the first three things I can do in order to move forward and recover?
You're right. The first thing you should do is make sure that you and your family and your pets are safe. Assuming that you could get back to your house or your residence, you should go back if you've had to evacuate and check for damage to your house immediately after. And I'm talking about storms because that's what we're most familiar with here in North Florida, hurricanes. And then start to take pictures of your property. Take pictures inside your house, outside your house, all around your house, and your surrounding land that you live on. But also take pictures before the event. You're going to need those soon if you're going to be applying for assistance or if you have insurance and you're going to need to file a claim. And then start paying attention to the local media for information on whether and where a disaster recovery center is going to be set up, a family or assistance center, or just some place that you can now start to register for disaster relief assistance.
So you've talked about relief assistance. Often that comes from FEMA. But in insurance claims, do I need a lawyer to represent me when I'm filing for an insurance claim of this magnitude?
Well, you don't need a lawyer to file your claim if you have a homeowner's insurance. You may need a lawyer if after filing your claim, you're not satisfied with the response that you get from your insurance company.
What about the important documents I may have lost? Things like Social Security cards, marriage certificates, birth certificates.
And that happens a lot. And so one of the first legal issues that people have after a disaster is document replacement. Hopefully, before the disaster, you have made a copy of everything and kept it in a secure place or taken it with you. But if you haven't, you'll have to replace those documents. And for some of those, you may need legal assistance to get them. For things like your driver's license or your Social Security card, you can go online if you have power and you're able to get online with the computer or the disaster recovery center and make applications or, you know, request that those be replaced. For other things, if you've lost like your birth certificate or a deed to your property, you may need some assistance with that. Or, for example, if you've lost information about if you're receiving SNAP or food assistance, you may need legal assistance for that. And legal aid programs are in disaster recovery centers, and so the attorneys are there to answer questions about replacing those important documents.
What other kind of things can I do proactively so that the arrival of a disaster isn't made more complicated?
One, as I already said, is get your papers together and protect them. Also, get an evacuation kit. If you have to leave your property, you can expect to probably be away for maybe 3 to 7 days. So have the supplies you need for those 3 to 7 days. Clothes, medicine, things that you might need for a pet or for your children. Make sure you've got those. You can pick them up and go. Make sure you've got your insurance information before you leave. Also, make sure you tell friends or family where you're going so that they can contact you or look for you, or you can contact them and let them know that you're safe.
Kathy Grunewald is Disaster Coordinator Attorney with the Legal Services of North Florida. Kathy, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
We've been talking about the physical world of rebuilding after a disaster, insurance claims, replacing legal documents, but we also want to touch on the mental and emotional side of rebuilding as well. Daisha Williams knows that road to a sense of normalcy well. In 2018, the deadliest and most destructive wildfire in California, the Camp Fire, swept through her town in Magalia, burning her home to the ground. Today, Williams lives in Chico with her two sons, Dominic and Anthony, and teaches counseling and life skills courses at Butte College. Daisha Williams, thanks so much for being back with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk to you today.
So I wonder if you can think back to your emotional state in those days following sort of the shock, right? I mean, I have to assume that when you lose a home, when you have to escape a fire, there's a period of shock and disorientation. And then what?
So you're right, there's definitely shock, and I think the length of time for that is different for everyone, so it's probably important to note that everyone's going to respond differently. And then following that, it's just really a sense of being overwhelmed. It was kind of universal. I've talked to other survivors that have had sort of the totality of it hits you. Wow, we literally have nowhere to go, and you're in survival mode.
And interestingly enough, at that moment when you might be overwhelmed by the feelings of grappling with all of the things that have happened and that you have to get done, you kind of have to be super efficient and effective as well. There's so many things that you have to do. And you're a single mother. You also had to be looking after the well-being of your sons as well. So how did you do that?
I'd say one of the hardest lessons, especially if you are really independent prior to a crisis happening, is learning to accept help. Help with places to stay. We had to get help financially. We had to get help from Red Cross. We just had to get help with everything. That's just really how you do it. There, people will line up to help, and you just kind of have to be willing to say, okay, well, now I'm on the other side of the fence. And if I accept all of this help, things will start to come together a lot better.
There had to be moments when you were maybe feeling better, and then you remembered something that you loved that was gone.
Absolutely. It's a process of grief. And I remember before thinking, as long as we get out okay, everything else is just stuff. But then when you go through it, you realize, wow, some of those things were my kids' art from preschool that I'll never get back. You'll go to put on your favorite pair of jeans, and you'll remember, oh, wow, yeah, I just don't have those anymore. Or you'll have your first Christmas and you'll go to set up a tree and realize all your special ornaments are gone.
I mean, we keep them because they help us remember, right?
Right.
And then we lose them, and there must be a fear that you'll forget. And I wonder, for someone who might be going through this tremendous sense of grief, as you described right now, those who are affected by the Bootleg Fire in Oregon or the condo collapse in Miami, what could they do today that might help them cope, that might help them get through this?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I've kind of outlined it, because when you've been through something, ultimately at the end, your hope is that you can pass on information to help other people. So I would say, you know, early on, accept help from others, and then be open to redefining your life. Don't compare your life right now to how it was before. And there are practical ways to do those things. So it's like how I tell my students, I'm never going to just say, oh, think positive, it'll get you through it, without telling you exactly how to do that. So there are some strategies of how to get through it. And so if you like, I'd love to break some of that down into just practical ways.
Yes, absolutely.
So for me, and you know, they've done empirical studies as well, showing that practicing gratitude can really help you tremendously to get through a rough time. And there are easy ways to do that. So you could keep a little journal, you could start a gratitude jar, and every day you just identify something simple that you're grateful for, log it in your journal, or stick the little piece of paper in a jar. And you can start out with easy things like, I'm grateful for this cup of coffee, or I'm grateful that I made it out alive. I'm grateful that I have a place to sleep tonight. And then you just build on that. And the nice thing about a gratitude list or jar is that then later, if you're having a really rough day, you can go back and read all the things that you've documented that you're grateful to have. Prayer or meditation. And I use the word meditation and actually even prayer lightly. You know, you don't have to be in a room on a rug with a candle lit and chimes. You can just take a hike somewhere and be out in nature and somewhere that you can kind of quiet your mind or quiet your spirit and just be in the moment. And I get it that in the beginning, you're going to kind of be in survival mode, but those types of practical things add up to make a big difference and help you get through those hard moments.
That was Daisha Williams, a survivor of the 2018 Camp Fire, the deadliest and most destructive wildfire in California's history. Daisha, thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you for having me. I really, really appreciate it.